Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we exalt the name of Jesus Christ this morning. And we pray, O God, open our eyes through your scripture. Teach us things in your word that would point us to your Son, point us to worship, and lift up the name of Jesus in our own lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This week, as a family, we were reading and sometimes we like to read the Proverbs together. I like to share them. And I ask them, hey, what does this one mean? And we'll find one, discuss it. This week, one of the ones that I found was in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 is probably my favorite chapter of Proverbs. I just go to it all the time. Proverbs 18 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, I'm not thinking about Mother's Day and ladies and the blessing that women are to men in general. I began to share with my family that, you know, it's a blessing for a man to find a woman and find a good thing, find a wife and someone in life that you can partner with and do life with. And it's just a very great blessing. And the Lord has geared many men and women to find a partner in life so that you can cooperate in life and be better together. It's what I share with people in pre-marriage counseling. Be better together than you are alone. And I began to think and reflect this week coming upon Mother's Day, and especially last night, of how blessed I am with the ladies in my life. And I grew up with a mom who loved me and always supported me and encouraged me. She was a great encourager, and that really resonated with me and pointed me to try to do great things. So thankful for my mom. And then finding a girlfriend at the time in 10th grade and just growing together and living life together and eventually getting married. I have a wonderful wife. I could not ask for anything better or anyone better. Just a blessing of God into my life. And then I come to this church and I'm surrounded by ladies that are just fantastic. Ladies and who really, you know, again, I said earlier, this church would not be the church without the ladies that we have in this church. They carry so many parts of this church. It's such a blessing to have and be surrounded in ministry by good women. And that's just a blessing for me. The Lord has truly blessed. And so today, I want to encourage you ladies and also give you something to think of, ladies, as you're here. Because I know that a woman's mind works very differently than a man's mind oftentimes. And I want to encourage you that of the value of who you are in gospel ministry and the great work that you have and that you do, but also encourage you to think of the value of who God is. Because what I think encourages women and ladies the most is being able to take times in your lives where you stop looking around so much at the day-to-day, which can be a burden, and take time to look up and look at Jesus Christ. And I think that's one of the most important things for you ladies that you can do, is look up, look to God, look to your help that comes from the Lord that Amy sang about. Look to the scripture and look to the Psalms to lift you and lift your eyes unto the hills, unto your Savior. Because I know that a lady's life is not easy. I know that there are many difficulties that I can't comprehend and that many men can't comprehend in a woman's life. And so I do want to encourage you to sometimes separate yourself from that and look up to heaven and rejoice that your Savior reigns from on high. As we do that, I'd like to point you to the scripture. And there are things this morning in the life of David in our weekly reading that I think are very applicable to you as a lady and also to our men. I'm not speaking only to ladies, but I am going to steer our conversation this morning to ladies because it is a day in which we celebrate womanhood and motherhood. And the things in a lady's life. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And I want to remind you, ladies, that you are blessed. You are blessed. And I want to remind you of the biblical principle that the blessings that God has given to you are not merely for your personal satisfaction. They are meant to equip you to be a blessing. So that's the crux of the message today, ladies, for you is every time you receive the joy of a blessing, of a relationship, of a smile, of a victory in life, of a joyful time, of a memory, whatever it may be that gives you a blessing, that the Lord is equipping you to be a greater blessing for someone else and to the body of Christ. And for us not to take those blessings and fill our cup just to have a bottomless cup, but rather that our cup overflows, as the psalmist said, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." And may your cup overflow, ladies, this morning in joy and in blessing, that you might bless others. Let's look in 1 Chronicles 17, rather. This is I want to read through a couple of stories of David this week that we read. And encourage you to think through, as David thought, how he took his blessings and he turned them into greater blessings. Verse 1. "Now when David lived in his house, David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Behold, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent.' And Nathan said to David, 'Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you.'" Now what we see here and in the parallel passage in Samuel, what we understand is that David wants to build a house for God. David wants, he says, "You know, I live in this cedar house, this great house, and yet the ark is in a tent? That doesn't seem right. That I am in comfort, and the Lord is the presence of God, this ark that symbolizes his presence, it's in a tent. In a measly tent." And I want to draw your attention to David's heart in this. And while we're going to see how this plays out and how the Lord responds to this, what we see is David has a heart that wants to do what? He wants to bless God. Do you see his heart? If I have this, surely the Lord should have even better than what I have. Do you see that? And so, ladies, I want to encourage your heart to be drawn to the place of, yes, you are blessed. But I hope that your heart turns like David's does in this way to say, "I am so blessed. I need to bless God greater because he's much greater than I am. And look what I have." And I hope that challenges some of our hearts for the greed or maybe the self-centeredness that some of us all operate under in our lives of wanting to get our way and wanting to come to church and have things our way rather than saying, "Lord, how can I bless you while I'm in the house of the Lord? Lord, how can I bless you while I'm at home or with my income or my time or whatever I have? Lord, I want to give to you because you deserve it." Oh, may our hearts be likened to the heart of David here in what we see this morning. "I have, so Lord, I want to give and bless you." Every Mother's Day, we've made it a tradition, at least recently, the last 10 years probably, I remember, to go out to Nana's house after church. We drive out to Greenwell Springs to Allison's mom's house, and we climb on the roof and cut limbs off of trees and get the leaves off of her roof. And we work in the yard and we trim back bushes and we move stuff around where it needs to go. And I think this morning we've got some curtains or some things to be hung. And we make a joy out of serving and giving to Nana on Mother's Day. Something we love to do because we know that who she is and we love her. And we want to bless her in a way that is meaningful to her. And that's something we can do for her. Nana's not a roof climber. So we climb the roof for her. This is where David's heart is. Let's continue in verse 3. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, it is not you who will build me a house to dwell in, for I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up Israel to this day. But I have gone from tent to tent and from dwelling to dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? This is the Lord's way of responding to David and saying, look, I don't live in a house. You can't contain me. I'm God. I'm a spirit. I don't live in a physical place. And no, the Ark of the Covenant represents, in some way, my presence. I don't live in a house. I don't need a house. I've never asked anyone to build me a house. And I think it's the Lord's way of saying, David, I appreciate your efforts here, but I don't need a house. In fact, I'm going to teach you a lesson about a house. And in fact, now is a good time for me to share with you what a house is and what a house is going to be. So look now, if you will, in verse 7 with me. Excuse me. Verse 7. Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from keeping, following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all of your enemies from before you. And I will make you a name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel to plant, and will plant them. And they will dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall waste them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will subdue all of your enemies. Now, what is the Lord doing here? And as we see, what the Lord is doing is, I know, David, you want to bless me, and I do appreciate that. I feel like that's his sentiment. But I also feel like the Lord is pushing back a bit and saying, I know you want to bless me, but watch this. I'm the blesser. And I want to remind you, David, that I'm the one that brings blessing. And he goes back through David's life and says, look, I brought you out of the farm. I brought you off of the pasture land. And I brought you unto the kingdom. And I subdued all your enemies. And we read that this week, didn't we? Many of you. And let me stop and just say, if you've fallen behind, it's okay. Pick back up today. You can pick back up today and get there. Get back on track. It's good. But we've seen, as if you've been reading through the Psalms this week, you've seen David's heart cry out, Lord, I'm scared. I might die. I lift my eyes to the hills. Lord, rescue me. I need help. This is what we see, the heart of David. And I'm going to tell you, I feel like there were times in David's life reading these Psalms where he really felt like he was going to die. David wasn't a superhero. He was a regular person. Now, he was anointed and called by God. But he had fears like you and I do. But the Lord saved him every single time. And we saw one of the battles this week that we read where his armies got surrounded by both sides. They got tricked. But the Lord provided, called him out of that. Love to see this. The Lord says, I'm your blesser. I'm the one who blesses, and I'm going to do great things through you. Let me remind you this morning, ladies. Let me remind you, men, as you listen in as well. The Lord is your salvation. Ladies, cry out to him. There are many ways that we deal with frustrations and temptations and anger and grief and sorrow. Hear me, ladies. Please hear me. The Lord is your salvation. He is perfectly able to give you joy despite your sorrow, your frustration, your angst in life. He's able. So lift thine eyes to the heavens and cast your gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able. Seek Him in His Word. Fill your hearts with the truth of God's Word, that you might find your joy in Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's get back to the Scripture. Finishing verse 10. Moreover, I declare to you that the Lord will build what? Y'all help me out. Moreover, I declare to you that the Lord will build you a house. Do you see it here? Do you see what's going on? As the Lord does, He turns it topsy-turvy. He turns it upside down and says, you want to build me a house? That's fine. I'm building you a house. It's like going out to eat with my father-in-law on Father's Day. You try to buy his meal on Father's Day, and he says, you ain't buying my meal. The Lord says, you want to build me a house? That's nice. I'm building you a house. And the house, quote unquote, that he's speaking of is not a house of cedar. It's not a plot on 40 acres. It is a lineage. And I'll go ahead and spoil the surprise for you. The house that the Lord is building for David is Jesus Christ, the Lord. He's building a Savior to own the house and run the house. Let's watch this play out. Moreover, I declare to you that the Lord will build you a house. When your days are fulfilled to walk with your fathers, in other words, when you die, I will raise up offspring after you. Specifically here, Solomon. And one of your own sons, I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from him who was before you. But I will confirm him in my house and my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. And how does that work? Because the throne of Solomon will flow to the throne of Jesus Christ that will be the kingdom come, that will be the kingdom that will last forever. Do you see it here? Especially you Sunday night folks who have been studying the kingdom of God. Here it is. Verse 14, verse 15. In accordance with all these words, in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. So here's what we go back to. We go back to a principle that's already been established. And I want to remind you of this principle because it didn't begin with David. You know, we understand that the Bible says that God doesn't change. He is immutable. He doesn't waver with time. He's outside of the bounds of time. God doesn't change. And we know that. And what we see, even at the beginning of the Bible, we see in Genesis chapter 12, we see the Lord being the great blesser and proclaiming that He's blessing. So let me give you a very succinct passage of verse of Scripture that shows this. Genesis 12, verse 2. Ladies, hear this. And I will make of you a great nation. You could say, I'll make of you a great house. And I will bless you and make your name great. Y'all finish that verse for me. And I will bless you and make your name great. Some of y'all finished it for me. Y'all help me out with this verse. And I will bless you and make your name great. Do you see it? Do you see it? The Lord blesses us in order that a greater blessing might come. And He blessed Abram that the greater blessing of Jesus might come. And He blessed David that the greater blessing of Jesus might come. And He blessed Solomon that the greater blessing of Jesus might come. And I want to share this with you. Ladies, He is blessing you so that you might demonstrate Jesus to all of those you know. Men, He's blessing you so that the greater blessing of Jesus might be made known. So moms here today, you're raising children. Maybe you've raised children. Maybe you have someone in the church you've adopted as a spiritual mom. Let me share this with you. The Lord has blessed you with wisdom, knowledge, skill, spiritual gifts, so that you can make Jesus known. You are establishing in the household of God. You are building in the kingdom of God. Don't miss that. Ladies, God has blessed you with so many gifts and talents and wisdom. Use your blessing to make Jesus known. That is your role. That is all of our role. I love how the scripture ties together. And you look in Genesis, you look in 1 Samuel, you look in Chronicles, you look in Luke. And look what Luke says. I just love how it all ties together. Luke says this: the angel comes to Mary. And hear this. Just hear this. In light of the passage that scripture we're reading today, hear this. And the angel said to her, many of y'all can probably quote this, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor," or found a blessing "with God. And behold, you will conceive and in your womb, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great." Let me say that again. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him," what? "The throne of his father David." Well, how about that? Luke knew exactly what was going on. The angel knew exactly what was going on. The apostles knew that this is a clear fulfillment of what we see in 1 Chronicles that we're reading now. The throne that God was building for David was being prepared each year for Jesus Christ to sit on that and rule you and me. Rejoice. Rejoice. Jesus Christ is ruling from the throne, and he's ruling you and me. Rejoice. Praise God. We have a righteous king. And his throne's not here. It's not in Jerusalem. It's not in Rome. It's not in Nashville. It's a spiritual kingdom. And you and I are all united in spirit to the kingdom of God that is being ruled right now. There is a greater king. His name is Jesus. So let me go back to a song we sang this morning and ask you a question. The end of one of the songs said, "I will follow you. I will follow you." And it repeats, "I will follow you. I will follow you." And my question for you this morning is this: knowing that Jesus Christ is the king, and he's the sovereign ruler, he doesn't suggest that we follow him. He doesn't beg for us to follow him. Jesus commands us to follow him. So let me say that again. Jesus doesn't suggest us to follow him and give us whatever we can spare. Jesus doesn't beg for us, thinking that, oh, if he could only get our attention, that he would be in a better place. The Bible is very clear that Jesus is the King of Kings. That all of creation cries out in worship and in exaltation of who he is. Jesus Christ the Lord commands us to follow him. And if you're here this morning and you have not bowed your knee at the Holy of Holy, Jesus Christ the Lord, and humbly come before him and surrendered to the King of the universe, may I tell you in love that you are in rebellion to the King who rules over all of the universe. And I encourage you as strongly as I may to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I share this because I care for you. And if you're here this morning, I care for your soul. And one day each one of us will die and will stand before the King of the universe. And if we have not cried out for mercy, if we've not cried out in faith, and if we have not cried out, Jesus Christ, I surrender myself to you, save my soul, and had our hearts transformed, there will be hell to pay. So in love, I ask you to consider where you are today. Have you come to Jesus Christ? If you have not, come today. As the Lord turns to blessing to David, David responds. Y'all look with me at his response. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Verse 16. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" Y'all, this is the King of Israel. Get this. Just hear it. This is the King, the sovereign of the land, the one that everybody does what he says. The one who says, y'all go build this, and they go build it. The one who says, go kill this person, and they die. The one who says, I want that, and they bring it to him. And he comes and he prays before God and he says, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you've brought me thus far?" Do you see that? The most powerful one, the one that no one tells him what to do, humbles himself before God and says, "Who am I, Lord, that you would be so kind to me?" How many kings, how many presidents do you know like that? Verse 17, "And this was a small thing in your eyes, O God. You have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come and have shown me future generations, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant. For your servant's sake, O Lord, and according to your own heart, you have done this greatness in making known all of these great things. There is none like you, O Lord, and there is no God beside you, according to all we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel? The one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people." We're speaking of the story of redemption, aren't we? And God, you have chosen by your kindness to redeem a people. Oh God, why? I don't deserve it. Christian in this room, I sure hope you often go before God and say, "Lord, I don't deserve your salvation. Why me? Why, oh God?" And I think the answer is some in this passage. Let me read that verse again, verse 21. When you say, "Why me, O God?" Watch. "And who, like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, he purchased to be his people, making for yourself a name for great and awesome things and driving out nations before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt." Do you see that? Ladies, grab this. Grab hard onto this. Why me? Why, oh God, why would you pour your kindness upon me to make a name for the great God of heaven? Do you see? Do you see it? It's right there. It's right there. God saves you so that he can show his greatness through you. Why motherhood? So that you can exalt the name of Jesus through motherhood. Why wifehood? so that you can exalt the name of Jesus as a bride. Why friendship? So that you can exalt the name of Jesus as a faithful friend. Why this church? So that you can proclaim Jesus to your brothers and sisters in this church. God has blessed you, ladies. He's greatly blessed you. And my prayer and hope for you this morning is that you turn the blessing that you've been given into a further blessing. Let me wrap up with another story of David to show you, to give you. We've seen David want to be a blessing, to build God a house. We've seen David, his response to being blessed is a prayer. But turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I want to show you a quick story of how David puts that into practice. No, he doesn't build God a house, but what he does do, you'll find fascinating. 2 Samuel 9, and David said, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Remember David and Jonathan, they were good friends, and he loved Jonathan. And so here, years later, he says, "I want to be kind to someone because I love Jonathan. He was such a good friend to me." So what's he decide to do? Give me somebody in Jonathan's house or Saul's house that I can be kind to show my appreciation. Watch this. Do you see that the redeemed heart wants to bless? The blessed heart wants to be a blessing? Verse 2. "Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' He said, 'I am your servant.' And the king said, 'Is there not still someone in the house of Saul that I might show kindness, the kindness of God to him?" Do you see the phrasing there? God's been kind to me. I want to show the kindness of God to someone. And this is what the redeemed heart does. The story of redemption doesn't end in his kindness to you, church. To you, ladies, it ends by you going further, the step further, and being a blessing to someone else. Show the kindness of God. I want to show the kindness of God. And then Ziba says to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan, and he's crippled in his feet." And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He's in the house of Machir of this places." Verse 5, "Then King David sent to and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel at Lodabar, and Mephibosheth, he's got crippled legs and a crippled name, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage and said to David, and David said to him, Mephibosheth. And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you the kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." Get this. You know what happens normally to the descendants of the king who is passed and another family comes and takes over the kinghood? What do they normally do to the family of the king that's not the king anymore? You see it all throughout the Bible. They kill them all. So there's no question who's the king. What does David do? He blessed him. He blessed him. Kind of like what Jesus says. Bless your enemies and do good to them. Pray for your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. I find it really interesting in verse 8. David wants to bless in the blessings of God. Watch Mephibosheth's response. And who does it remind you of? Think about it. Look in verse 8. And he paid homage to David and he said, "What is your servant that you should show such regard for a dead dog such as I?" Does that remind you of anybody's response to the blessing that he received? Sure does. Sounds a lot like what David said to the Lord. I have a challenge for you today. Ladies, special day for you. And everybody's going to tell you Happy Mother's Day. And Look, we got chocolate. Your challenge is to give me your chocolate. No, that's not the challenge. My challenge is this. Take your blessing of a Mother's Day and enjoy it greatly. But take your blessing of a Mother's Day and go bless somebody. Go bless somebody. Pull a David. Pull a God. And in your blessings that you have received today, go bless somebody. Be a blessing. Not just be nice. The difference. Go bless somebody. And I mean that in the biblical way. In the sense of make the name of God known. Make the name of Jesus known by the way that you bless somebody. Go be a biblical blessing to somebody. It might be a family member. It might be a friend. It might be somebody who's struggling. Take your day, and as the Lord has blessed you greatly, go and be a blessing. Let's pray together. Father, as we have seen the glory of who you are in your word, give us opportunity today to be a blessing. Lord, if there's anyone in this room who has not surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stir their hearts, O God. Draw them into salvation in Jesus' name. O Lord, we cry out to you. Have your way with us. We surrender our way to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.